This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Before we start today's talk, reflecting on Surah Maryam alayhi salam and how her story can help us overcome psychological trauma, I want to reflect on a story that happened in the days that we live in. And that was a story that happened to one of our brothers in Ireland, who was a neurosurgeon, one of the only two neurosurgeons in all of Ireland. He sent his family to study in the Alim course in the UK. And one day, there was a fight between two individuals, one of them being an Englishman and the other one being an Englishman from Pakistani descent. And this Englishman was defeated by the Pakistani brother, so he wanted to get revenge. And as he was looking to get revenge, he said, "Where does this guy live? Show me his house." So some of his friends showed him, "This is where he lives." The only thing was, is that it wasn't his house. It was the house of the family of this doctor in Ireland, who was a mashallah, very good Muslim, very good practicing family. They were there memorizing the Quran. They had nothing to do with this fight. So he makes a firebomb and he goes to the house and he throws it into the house. And to the house burns down, and the brother's wife, his daughter, and his two sons, who had just completed their hifz of the Quran and now were imams, when they would come back to Ireland and would lead the Taraweeh, all of them were killed in this house fire. I heard of this story, and I had met with the brother, and then one day we had a radio program on the local radio in Ireland. I was talking about a new Islamic center that we were about to open. And as I was waiting for my turn on the radio station, they hosted him to talk about his story as well. And he talked about how he has sabr and how patient he was. And the presenter on the radio station, he couldn't understand how someone could be so calm and be accepting to what had happened to him. This is a serious trauma. How could he be so accepting, so open to what is happening? And subhanAllah, he said, "This is what we were trained to do in the Quran when Allah told us, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.' Truly, we are from Allah and to Him we return." And the tafsir that he gave to this ayah, it's not a tafsir that you find in the books, it's not a tafsir that you learn. It's a tafsir that he went through personally, and he's telling the story, and that's why it was so powerful. And I never really understood "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un" to that level until I heard his story. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the beginning of these verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, when he says, "Walanabluwannakum," that we will certainly test you. He's going to test us with what? Look at the things that are mentioned here. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. He's going to test you with fear and something of hunger. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And he will test you with not having sufficient when it comes to your money, your wealth, and the thamarat, the fruit, and even losing those who are closest to us. And Allah said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the sabirin. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Those who, when affliction comes, when it strikes, what do they say? Here comes the implementation of true iman. They say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, "Indeed, we are from Allah, and to Him we return." What is the outcome? What is the result for these individuals? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These are the ones who have salawat, blessings sent from Allah upon them, and rahmah and mercy, and they will be the muhtadun. They will be the ones who are the truly guided ones. Some of you might ask, why do we start today's lecture with this story? Clearly, there's a lot of benefits in this story, but the main objective is to show that this type of iman and this type of implementation of the Quran can actually happen even in the days that we live in. Because sometimes what happens is that we look at these stories in the Quran, the stories in the Sunnah, the stories of the Sahaba, the Salaf, the early generations of the Ummah, and we say that was back then when they had strong iman. No one could do that in the days that we live in. But this example that happened to our brother Dr. Tawfiq, it's something that happened in the days that we live in. Something so powerful. I remember we had a conference in Dublin when I met with him and I sat with him personally. He told me the story. He said, you know something amazing, Sheikh? I said, what is that? He said, every single thing in the house was completely destroyed by the fire, except for two things. The masahif of my children. Wallahi, I'm telling you the story. The hairs are standing up on my body right now because this is something I witnessed and went through myself. He was telling me the story. He said, everything was burnt in the house. Everything destroyed, except for two things. The masahif that his family was memorizing the Quran from, and some sadaqah, some money, paper money, that his daughter put aside for sadaqah, somehow wasn't burnt. And then he gave me the Quran to see myself. You could see the burnt marks on the outside of the Quran. You could smell it. I took it. You could smell the fire. You could see where it was, just the outside of the pages. But it was completely, nothing happened to the Quran inside. It was amazing, subhanAllah. This is a story from the days that we live in. So when we look at these stories that Allah mentions in the Quran, to find the guidance in it, to find the benefit from it, we can truly implement it today, as we're going to see in the story of Maryam alayhi salam. And why is it so important? Because nowadays when it comes to psychological trauma and dealing with these difficulties, and this is a new term, by the way. It wasn't there many years ago or the beginning of Islam, psychological trauma. This is a new term, but dealing with it was there. Solving the problem of this psychological trauma, these emotional traumas, it's there in the Quran. When Allah described the Quran for us in Surah Yunus, He said it's shifa lima fi sudur. It's a cure for what is in the hearts. And He said in Surah Fussilat, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. And say it is for those who believe, huda, a source of guidance, and shifa, it's a cure. So the Quran is there as a cure. And we look into Islam, because what happens to the Muslims today, we say that these new terms, psychological trauma, okay, where do we find the cure? Let's go to the West. Let's see what Professor John and Dr. Sally, the psychiatrist, what they say. And okay, let's go to them and find solution and a cure for them. And let's go to a psychiatrist and let's get some antidepressant medicine to deal with these traumas. While that might be necessary in some cases, the cure we have, alhamdulillah, in the Quran. If we were to act upon what we have in the Quran and in the Sunnah, we would find the cure for many of these things. So if you look for Islam, an example, we have Al-Qadr, Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, one of the pillars of Islam. If we truly understood that pillar, in fact, when the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, he said, "Antu'min Bil-Qadri Khayrihi wa Sharrihi." It came in the Hadith of Jibreel. He said, to believe in the Qadr, the good and the bad which comes from it. If we really understood that meaning, we're going to understand how to deal with trauma and calamities and difficulties and tests when it comes to us. We have a verse in the Quran, one verse, that if we understood this verse, it would make it very easy for us to deal with traumas and difficulties when they come to us. And there's many verses like this in the Quran, in the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this story that we have in the Quran, the story of Maryam alayhi salam, we're going to see examples of that as well. And subhanAllah, even just listening to the Quran is a cure. It's a shifa. And this has been proven for Muslims and non-Muslims alike. When they just listen to the Quran, how they feel good inside. This is the power of the Quran. Before we look into the story of Maryam alayhi salam, the iman bil qadr, The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was with his young cousin, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and he took it as an opportunity to teach him a very valuable lesson. A lesson that we need to constantly remind ourselves of, and we need to teach our children as well. He said, Ya ghulam, O young man, inni u'alimuka kalimat. I'm going to teach you some words, some advice I'm going to give you. احفظ الله يحفظك. To be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. That if you, and be mindful of Allah, Allah will be in front of you. He will be there for you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَسَأَلِ اللَّهِ. And if you ask, only ask from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you seek assistance, only seek the assistance of Allah. Pure tawheed, pure la ilaha illallah. This is the tarbiyah. And this is why it's so important when you have this pure tawheed and that attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that iman, the qadr, the good, the bad that comes from it, it's going to help you when that trauma comes, that calamity, that difficulty, when it hits, you're going to be prepared. But if you're far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the trauma hits, then it becomes difficult. You can still find a way out with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. But it becomes much more difficult to deal with it. Then he taught him a very, very valuable lesson after that introduction. He said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. He said, and know that if the entire world were to come together to benefit you with something, they couldn't benefit you with it unless it's something that Allah has already decreed for you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And to know that if the entire world were to come together to harm you with something, they couldn't harm you with something unless Allah has already decreed it upon you. And then he said, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. That the pens have been raised and the ink has dried. Khalas, this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another narration of this hadith, there are six principles if you reflect on it. When he taught him, he said, احفظ الله تجده أمامك. That if you are mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you, will find it there for you. And then he said, and pay attention to these qawaid, these principles laid out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, تعرف على الله في الرخاء يعرفك في شدة. He said, to know Allah at the time of ease, and Allah will know you, he'll be there for you at the time of difficulty. And this is why it's so important to have that tawheed. Because when the difficulty comes, when the trauma strikes, and you know that you've been working for Allah, Allah is going to be there to assist you. He's going to be there to make it easy for you. Doesn't mean you're not going to be tested. The Anbiya were tested, and they're the highest in level of iman. The Sahaba were tested, but they found ease in that test, or more ease than others, because of the fact that they had that foundation of strong tawheed and strong iman. And then he taught him another very important principle. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. That which you missed out on, your failed opportunity, he said it never would have came to you in the first place. And that which befell upon you, that would came to you, you never would have been able to avoid it. خلاص. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have that iman and you're ready, when the calamity strikes, you're going to be able to deal with it. And then he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرُ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. And to know that victory, it comes through patience. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَعَ الْكُرْبِ. That the relief comes after affliction. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And that after hardships comes ease. But the foundation in both of these narrations, what was it? Having that strong iman, billah, first of all, and then the iman bil qadr. And that's why in the other hadith, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam found a woman and she was crying on the grave of her young son who had just died. And no doubt that as a parent is probably the most tragic thing that a parent could ever face, losing his child, especially a young child at that age. As she's crying on the grave, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he came behind her to remind her about sabr and patience. This Sahabiya, not realizing who was behind her, she didn't realize it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, "Alayka anni," and get away from me. She said, "You don't know what happened to me. You don't know the difficulty that I'm facing." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam didn't say anything else to her, and he went to the masjid. The people who were around, they heard this. They went over to said, "Do you know who that was?" "That was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Obviously, now the iman kicks in, and she felt bad, and she remembered the reminder. So she rushes to the masjid. She rushes to the masjid to seek forgiveness from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and say, "I didn't realize who you were." What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam say to her? "Innama as-sabru 'inda as-sadmatil ula." That patience is at the time of the affliction. That's when you really benefit. That's true patience, when it hits. But like we said, the foundation has to be there in order to help you deal with it. And we're going to see that in the story of Maryam very clear as well. And the story of Maryam, before we start in this story, who was Maryam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes her for us in the Quran. And before I mention that, I want to mention something very beneficial. That one verse, because you might have asked about that. I said there was one verse that if we understood this, it would be a life changer for all of us when it comes to dealing with difficulties and calamities. And that came in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 216, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kutiba alaykum al-qital." It's been prescribed for you to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why it could be a great honor to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally speaking, the nafs, as a human being, you realize when you go to fight, there's going to be two outcomes. You're going to be victorious and come home to your family, or you're going to die on the battlefield. So it's a situation that most people don't want to be in, because all of us, we want to live as long as we can. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kutiba alaykum al-qital wa huwa kurhun lakum." It's something disliked to you. It's human nature that we don't want to have to fight unless we have to. But then Allah said something very powerful. And take these as qawaid, as principles in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa'asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayru lakum." That perhaps you dislike something, but it's actually better for you. "Wa'asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum." And that perhaps you love something, but it's actually better for you. "Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun." And Allah knows why you don't know. If we understood this, subhanAllah, if we understood the power of this verse, and wallahi, I've sat with non-Muslims, and talked to them about this verse, and they found it as a solution for their problems. Because when you sit down and you reflect on the benefits, that perhaps it was really bad for you, even though you wanted it. Something you really wanted, but it was actually bad for you. Something you looked at as being really horrible, a calamity, but a lot of good came from it. How many people have gone through calamities, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then raised their status and made them better Muslims and opened for them the doors of khair, alhamdulillah. So you don't know where the good is, Allah knows where the good is. And Allah puts each one of us in a situation to be tested in a different way. But if you're ready for it and you have this iman, then it's going to make it easier to deal with it, inshallah ta'ala. And the story of Maryam alayhi salam, who was Maryam? This story in the Quran comes in the beginning of the second half of the Quran, after Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the four main trials and tribulations that face mankind every day, the fitna of the deen, of our religion, the fitna of al-mal, our wealth, and of ilm, of knowledge, and that of sulta, of authority, of being in charge. And then, after chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, comes Surah 19, chapter 19, Surah Maryam, alayhi salam. And in this surah, from verses 16 to 26, Allah talks about the story that we're going to talk about today. But before that, who was Maryam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes her in different ayat in the Quran. In Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, in verses 42 and 43, Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the world. Ya Maryamu, uqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma raki'in. O Maryam, to be someone who is devoutly obedient to your Rabb and making sujood and ruku' and be with those who are making ruku'. And the other verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 75, the verses before Surah Al-Imran, before the birth of Isa alayhi salam. In this verse, after the birth of Isa alayhi salam, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about her? In Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 75, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَ. And his mother was someone who was siddiqa, a supporter of truth, someone upon truth. Why is it so important to understand this? Because this explains, makes you understand as you're about to enter into the story and to verse 16 of Surah Maryam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this pious woman who has devoted herself for ibadah. She's devoted herself completely to ibadah. Allah told us, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. To mention in the book the story of Maryam, if she were to withdraw herself from her family towards the east. فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. She put a screen between herself and them. So now, picture the story. She's devoted herself to ibadah. Just like we have an i'tikaf, to seclusion, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us need that in our lives. And this is the way of the salihin, of the pious. So here she is, devoting herself, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel, who was Jibreel alayhi salam, when he said, فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحًا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. That Allah said, we sent our angel to her, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man. And here in this story, we might focus on the first part, that an angel has come to her, but a well-proportioned man, as many of the scholars of tafsir focused on, that he is someone who is handsome. Here's a woman who's not married, and a handsome man has come to her, and she's in seclusion where no one else is around. Very similar to the story of who? Story of who? And in chapter 12, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, a young handsome man, a beautiful woman comes to him. He's an unmarried man. What did he do to find a way out, Yusuf alayhi salam? What did he hold on to? What did he say? Ma'ad Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The same tool that Maryam alayhi salam is going to use. قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. She said, I seek refuge in Ar-Rahman from you, in kunta taqiyan, if you're someone who was pious. And this is the way of the believer at the time of difficulty, the time of trauma. Immediately to seek refuge, to seek assistance, to seek a help from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To attach ourselves to Allah. Ma'ad Allah. I seek refuge in Ar-Rahman from you. And she reminds him, if you're someone who's taqiyah, if you have taqwa, taqillah, fear Allah, get away from me. And then he comes and tells her, and by the way, the real trauma in the story hasn't happened yet. This is just a scary part for her in the story. This is something that has put her in fear. The real trauma is about to come in the verses that are coming. When she says, when Jibreel says to her, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولِ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. I am the messenger of the Lord sent to you to give you glad tidings of a pure boy. Meaning, who is pure from sins. Obviously here, she's shocked, she's astonished. And she says, قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٍ. How can I have a ghulam? How can I have a child? How can I have a boy? Because the one who has a boy, there's two possibilities. And she mentions both of them here in the verse. وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بَغِيًّا. No man has ever touched me. And I'm not someone who's unchaste. She's not someone who's in haram. So how can she have a child? It's impossible. Jibreel says to her, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّن. This is what your Lord has said, that it's upon him hayyin. It's something easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that says, كُن فَيَكُن. Be and it will be. And then he mentions through the wisdom, you're about to go through this, now, this difficulty, but there's wisdom in it. وَلِنَجْعَلُهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا. That we will make him an ayah, a sign for the people, and a mercy for the people. Then he says to her, once again, the imam with qadr. So we hold firm and we believe. Alhamdulillah. Don't take it difficult. Don't make it difficult upon yourself, because he says, وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا, that this is something that has been decreed from Allah. This is what it is. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he blew in the opening of her garment, and the breath went up into her private part, into her womb, and then she became pregnant like a woman becomes pregnant from a man. After that, Allah said, فَحَمَلَتُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا, that she became pregnant with him, and then she went to a remote place, and he far away from her family. Until then, the labor starts. Now, picture the story as it's coming in the ayat. A pious woman devoting herself, all of a sudden become pregnant, and no one's ever touched her, but she's pregnant. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's going to believe her, right? She's in this difficult, going through the pregnancy, being by herself, no one with her. Now she's in delivery. No one there with her, all by herself. فَأَجَاهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِرْدِ النَّخْلَةِ, that she goes against the trunk of the palm tree as the pains of the childbirth, al-makhad, it starts to hit. She goes up against the tree. And imagine her emotional state right now that she's going through. Even though she knows it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how difficult is it? No one there with her. What she's going to say to the people when she comes back with this baby? What does she say? قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا. She says, subhanAllah, I wish that I would have died before this. And I was just someone who was in oblivion, forgotten. This is the situation that she's in, how stressful it was. But right away, فَنَدَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا أَنْ لَا تَحْزَنِي. But he called her from beneath her and said, لَا تَحْزَنِي, do not become saddened. Don't grieve. Who called her? The scholars of Tafsir said it was Jibreel, and some of them said it was Isa himself, alayhi salam. The other one said he hadn't spoken yet, so it was Jibreel. Either or, لَا تَحْزَنِي, don't become sad and do not grieve. قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتِكِ سَرِيَّ, Allah has made underneath of you a sariya, a stream that's flowing. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said this stream had stopped flowing. It wasn't flowing anymore. There was no water. And she looks down and there it is flowing. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِدْعِ النَّخْلَةِ, and shake the trunk of the date palm, تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيَّ, and fresh dates will come down to you. And it wasn't the time of the fresh dates, but here Allah is providing for her from His signs. Then Allah said in the last verse of the story in 26, فَكُولِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا, so eat and drink and be contented. Be contented meaning with what you have, being contented with the blessing of this child, being contented meaning being in a good emotional state. And then He said, فَإِمَّا تَرَيَنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا, that if you see anyone from humanity, فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا, so tell them that I have made another, a vow to Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, that I will not speak to anyone. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ, I won't speak to anyone. And then the story comes after, obviously, where Isa himself speaks to them. From this story, what do we gain? How can this be a map for us to deal with physical trauma when it hits? From the foundation right away, as we mentioned earlier, Al-Iman bil-Qadr. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا, that it's something that's already been decreed. And we understand this, it's going to help us deal with it. Yes, it's very difficult, but it's going to make it much easier in dealing with it. And then, the sabr, having the sabr in dealing with these difficulties. And being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these difficulties, they strengthen our faith, and they also attach our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some trauma and some trials and tribulations, they're so difficult, you realize that the only way out is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people, if you saw on social media, I mentioned actually in a lecture here in Malaysia recently, in KL, about a man who came to me after his khutbah. He was someone who was very successful in the company in Microsoft, and he had all the dunya, and he said the most beloved thing to him was his young child, 5 years old. And when he got sick, he said he was far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Didn't really believe in Islam. He used to make fun of Islam and the Muslims because he became this successful engineer. He went to his head until his son passed away, at the age of 5. When he passed away, everyone tried to help him, console him. Didn't work. Then he remembered who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I knew that the only one who could help me out was Allah. He turned to Allah and returned to Allah and attached his heart to Allah, and Allah made it easy for him way out, alhamdulillah. And that brought him back to the deen. So a tragedy that makes you stronger, alhamdulillah. Also, from the things that we gain from her story is taking a temporary isolation, al-uzla, to be by yourself. At the time of trauma, you're going to be sometimes in a negative area, the area where you were, where the problems happened. And that's why the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about the man who killed 99 people, what did he tell him as a solution? He went to the abbot, who didn't have much knowledge of the deen, and asked him, can I have tawbah? Can I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, no way. You're a horrible person. You already committed 99 sins. There's no way out for you. You already killed 99 people. There's no way out for you. So what did he do? Obviously, he has a problem with anger management, this guy, right? Because he already killed 99 people. So he takes out his sword and makes him 100. Then he goes to the alim who understands the deen, who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, of course. What comes between you and making tawbah? He said, lakin, but, innaka bi ardi su, fadhhab ila ardi kadha wa kadha, fa inna fiha qawmun salihun, ya'budun Allah, fa'budullah ma'hum. He said, go to such and such a land, a different land. He said, because there are pious people who worship Allah. And he said, go and worship Allah with them. So get out of the environment that you're in. He was making tawbah. So the same mindset here, she goes by herself, she's by herself. What happens when we are alone by ourselves for some time, if trauma hits, we have the emotional management. And to be able to deal with the overwhelming emotions without external triggers. You know, in everyday life, the same problem that happened to you could be in that same area. So we temporarily isolate ourselves. Also, it helps us to reflect and raise self-awareness. Because sometimes when you reflect, the trauma that you're in, the test that you're in, the reason behind it is what? Yourself. It's us. Allah told us that no musibah happens upon earth except for what? Bima kasabat aydi an-nas. That's what the people have done with their own hands. We're the ones behind it a lot of the times. So here, when a trauma happens and you reflect and you say, because of my sins. Some of the Salaf, they said something very, very deep about this. They said that I see the impact of my sins on the people in my house. When they change and how they deal with them in the house. He said, I see the effects of my sins on my own family and how they act when I sin, when I have shortcomings, when not fulfilling what I should be doing as a Muslim. Even one of them, he said, the father, he said, the mouse that's in my house, I can see he changes when I'm sinful. SubhanAllah. Where did he reach this? On a deep contemplation and reflecting on why he's in this situation. Why is my family acting like this? Look what I've been doing the last couple of days. I have been going to the masjid. I've been waking up late on the salat. I've been doing this sin or this or watching this or doing that. And then he realizes that the sins that he's committing is having impact. So that self-reflection, it opens up so you might understand why you're going through the test or the trauma that you're going through. And as we said, it also helps us healing spiritually, because you're going to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you isolate yourself, as we saw in her story, and helps you reconnect. Either reconnect altogether, someone who's far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or someone who has become weak. It helps you reconnect. And sometimes we attach ourselves to the creation and we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just recently, I was looking for an upgrade in the dunya. Something good for me and my family, alhamdulillah. And in order to get this upgrade, I just need someone to sign a paper, inshallah, and I'll get it. And I knew the perfect person to help me with this. This guy, no one says no to him. So I talk to him and wait for him, and he goes and he speaks to this individual, and we're considered that it's done, khalas, it's finished. And the guy comes back and he says, you know what, it's not really a good time right now, maybe in the future. SubhanAllah, right away, what did this remind me of? I said to my wife, I said, we made the biggest mistake. I said, we remind the people we need to remind ourselves, subhanAllah, that we forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We made a bit of dua, but not as much as we should have been making. We relied on the strength of the people that we knew that was going to happen. So something like this, sometimes it could be a small thing. You didn't get what you wanted from the dunya. It could be a musibah, a crisis, trauma, trials, tribulation, whatever it may be. It could be just to remind you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reconnect with Allah. And that when you're isolated, it helps you be able to do that, inshallah ta'ala. Also, exiting the circle of grief. Because what happens to the individual when the trauma hits is that Sometimes we despair. Sometimes we despair and we start to give up hope. And this is the trick of Shaitan, is what Shaitan wants from us. Because if you have hope, you realize the only hope that I have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to connect myself with Allah. I want to beg upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if Shaitan can get us to give up and just be sad and despair, and then just go take medications and go to a counselor and be far away from the deen, this is what he wants. He's become victorious. And that's why the Quran focuses on this in detail, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub is going through the difficulties that he's going through of losing his son and still having hope, not giving up. What does he tell his children? وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the relief from Allah. لِمَاذَا? Why? إِنَّهُ لَا يَأْسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That no one despairs from the relief of Allah except for the kafirun, the disbelievers. It's not the way of the believer to despair. We always have hope. And the story here, we see that when Jibreel or Isa, whoever said it to him, لا تحزني, do not become sad. Don't give up. And the story of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in the cave with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and if one of them looks down, Abu Bakr said, if he just looks at his feet, he's going to see us underneath. They're going to get caught. They're making hijrah. No, you're in a cave, khalas, they're going to get you. You want it dead or alive. In this situation, what did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Do not become sad. Do not grieve. Why? Indeed, Allah is with us. And what was the outcome of that iman? What did Allah say? فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ السَّكِينَةُ عَلَيْهِ. The Allah sent down his sakina, his tranquility upon him. The same thing in the story of Musa alayhi salam. When he was caught, trapped, the sea, the bahar in front of him, and Fir'aun and his troops coming from behind him, they said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. خَلَاص, they're going to catch us now. We're caught. What did Musa say with the iman? He said, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِي رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. He said, no. He said, indeed, my Lord is with me. He's going to guide me. He's going to show me the way. And subhanAllah, those of you who are with me on social media, you might have saw in the last clip that I posted about 2 days ago, the signs of Allah in Gaza. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Syria and Sudan and all around the world, ya Rabbil Alameen. I mentioned the impact of the ayat. And this I mentioned several times throughout this conflict and this genocide, that we live with the Quran. Wallahi, these ayat, it's like it's being revealed about us. As we were looking at the situation, I looked at the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah when Allah said, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَضُرَّىٰ, that they were touched by difficulty, by poverty. And I'm seeing exactly what's happening to our brothers and sisters. وَزُلْزِلُوا, and they were shaken. And wallahi, we've never seen anything like this, what they're going through. What did Allah say after this in the ayah? حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. It got so bad, the affliction that they were going through, that even the messenger, and look at the level of iman, the messenger, Rasul, and those who believe with him, they said, متى نصر الله. I said, wallahi, this is the level we reached. Because every time there's negotiations and khalas, our brothers and sisters are going to finally find some ease, it fails, it fails, it fails, it fails. And it's just like, wow, this is never going to end. And we started, after about 14 months, to start to give up hope. Just something that it goes into to the heart sometimes. Even if you're someone who's positive, like I try to always be positive. But I'm thinking, is this the end for our brothers and sisters? Maybe they're all going to be annihilated. Well, I don't know. SubhanAllah. Mata nasrullah. Not realizing, just as Allah told us in the ayah, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. That indeed the victory of Allah is close. And alhamdulillah, right after that, the victory came. May Allah make it continue, ya Rabbil Alameen. From the benefits that we gain from this story is remembering the blessings, the ni'mah that Allah has given us. When trauma strikes, when difficulty strikes, we go through tests, and we remember the blessings that we have, alhamdulillah, it makes it easier. If we go through a difficulty, and then I look at what happened to my brothers and sisters in Gaza, it makes everything easy. People said, how was your flight coming here? The worst flight I've ever had in my life, honestly. Not gonna say, oh, it was a great flight, yeah, mashallah. No, it was horrible. It was a horrible experience. Huh? But even with that, I say, even though if you look at the timings and this, no sleep, Allah made it easy. There was something that made it easy. And on top of that, when I see what happened, other people say, alhamdulillah. You can only make you say, alhamdulillah. No difficulty. So we say, alhamdulillah. It's a blessing in the end, compared to what other people were going through. And that was mentioned here in the story when you see, قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتِكِ سَرِيَّ. Allah has made a stream flow under you. So alhamdulillah, you're going through a difficult time, but there's some good at it. Look in the blessings that you have. And this is one of those powerful ways for us to deal with trauma, with tribulations, with difficulties, with fitna when it comes, is thinking about the blessings that we have. Also, from the things that we gain from this story is maintaining strength and not succumbing to weakness. Don't give up to weakness and become weak. And for us to do this, as we said, the foundation for this is faith and then taking the necessary means and action. And that's exactly what was mentioned here in this story. When right after the delivery, what did Allah tell her? He told her, remind her about Jibreel or Isa. He said to her, remind her about the stream coming under, about the blessings. And then right away, وَهُزِّ إِلَيْكِ بِجِدْعِ النَّخْلَ. Now, to shake the tree so the rotab will come down for you. What do we gain from this? Many times we might not think about this. Because at the time, and this is one of the benefits from the story as well, is quickly addressing and rectifying the situation. Realizing the situation, it's a musibah, it's a crisis, but let's deal with it quickly so we can find a solution. Because what happens when trauma strikes, when people go through a psychological trauma, the psychological emotion difficulties they're facing, two bad things happen to them. First of all is the mental and emotional impact that it has. And secondly is what? The physical side. People stop eating. They become depressed. That's why right away in verse 26, Allah said, فَكُولِي وَشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا. That Allah said to her, eat and drink and be content. Be happy with what you have. Be content with what you have. And eat and drink to stay strong. Don't let yourself become weak at the time of difficulty physically as well. And quickly, inshallah, as we wrap up, two other points is that we seek Allah's help through silence and putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes they say it's better to go talk about it. Maybe at some times it is, and to certain individuals, but not about everyone. So you see that her silence at the time of trauma, it was actually one of the solutions. And if she had started to speak and talk, all of the things that we mentioned in the past, the benefits we mentioned, they wouldn't have been much benefit in it. But the silence now helped her benefit from the things that were mentioned in the past. So silence sometimes can be the best cure. And in the end, also having certainty that after hardships comes ease, and after distress comes relief. And subhanAllah, we see this very clear in her story, alayhi salam. Here's this pious woman who went through this difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised her status until he called her a siddiqah. She's the supporter of the truth. Named a chapter in the Quran after that we read until today. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as he said in the hadith, which came in Sahih Bukhari, kamala min ar-rijal kathir. Many of the men have been reached perfection. Many of men have reached perfection. وَلَمْ يَكْمِلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا. And there's no one from the women who have reached perfection except for two people he mentioned, Maryam bint Imran and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, subhanAllah. So you see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though she went through this difficulty, how he raised her status when she had sabr and she had yaqeen. This teaches all of us that as Allah told us in the Quran, innama al-usri yusra, that after difficulty will come ease. Wa jazakum allahu khairan, Allah knows best. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.